Hi, my name is Sarah Gray and you're listening to Cinema Spooks podcast, hosted by Vox Radio and DKIT. Today we're going to be discussing the 1982 film Poltergeist, and I'm here with Rebecca Byrne.
Hello.
Hi, Rebecca.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Poltergeist is a pretty cool film. Just a warning ahead of the podcast, this is going to be filled with spoilers for the film, and as it's a horror film, there may be some discussions of graphic content. So, Rebecca, just to start off, are you a horror fan in general?
You see, I'm weird with horror films, right? Like, I would never watch it alone, not because I was scared of them. It's just because I never found anything interesting about them. I'd only watch them with people because I could laugh at them like screaming, and I'm like, what? Why are you screaming? Mm-hmm. I remember watching Insidious and all my friends would be hiding under the blankets and I'm just here like laughing at them. But horror films are strange, but I do like the films, you know?
Yeah, no, I actually relate to that a lot. I've never been truly terrified by a horror film. I do find a lot of comedy in them. Even the ones that aren't meant to be funny, all the tropes can be a bit hilarious sometimes. The women running away and falling over, that kind of stuff.
100%.
And what was the first horror film you watched?
So the first horror film I think that I've watched was Poltergeist. So I would have been about 8, but I would have watched like stuff when I was like way younger. But from my memory, Poltergeist was the first film that I've watched.
That's cool. So you're going to feel loads of nostalgia today talking about it, I'm sure.
Probably, yeah.
And what was the last, besides rewatching Poltergeist for the podcast, what was the last horror film you watched?
I'm not sure if you'd call it a horror film, but it was Halloween's End or Kills. I don't know which one.
Halloween Ends. We actually saw it last week together in the cinema.
Yeah, that was the last horror film that I watched, and it was something. It was something.
It was a movie. It had Michael Myers in it.
It did.
A little bit.
Yeah. Fun fact, it was the only Halloween film that I've ever watched.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a bit disappointing.
Yeah. But it was the funniest film I've ever watched, so.
It was quite entertaining, all right. I did enjoy it. I know Adam that we went to see it wasn't too impressed due to the lack of Michael Myers, but I don't know, it wasn't my least favorite Halloween film.
Which is interesting. I need to know which one was the worst.
I don't like the Rob Zombie ones. It's for me personally, but I'm not a trusted source. I really like Halloween 3, which most people despise, but I love it, so
fair.
It's all down to personal taste and opinion, really.
100%.
And what would your favorite horror film be?
My favorite horror film, I have rewatched Insidious so many times. I wouldn't say it was my favorite, but it was a very entertaining film because of the comedic aspects of rewatching it. It's like, wait, why is this happening? And the trying to be horror aspect of it. I've also watched a few other ones like Paranormal Activity, which is a very fun one. Mm-hmm. Not traditional horror. It's like set in the real world and it's on video cameras, and I find that interesting. It's not, again, I wouldn't call it scary, but I'm like, this is a different perspective on horror than what I would think, which was Halloween, where it's like monster is trying to kill you or something like that.
Yeah, I think the Paranormal Activity films are very smart, especially like if you're trying to film something on a budget. It's just cameras in a house. Very, very good way of doing found footage. No, I think those films are quite smart. I don't think I've seen all of them. Maybe like the first 3 I've seen, and then after that it kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Insidious, I've definitely seen it, but I don't really remember it. I really like James Wan, the director. He did like the Saw movies as well.
Yeah.
Maybe not all of them, but a few of them anyway.
I think I've only seen like maybe one Saw movie, and it was on Netflix, and I was like, wait, what's this? It, like, my stepdad was like, nah, watch it. And he's like really into his horror, so I'm like, all right. It was a very strange film. The main guy as a puppet and telling people to do stuff, and I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll go with this.
I have mixed feelings about the Saw franchise. I think the first one's a masterpiece, but beyond that, it's very hit or miss. It's all the torture porn, very of the era it came out.
Yeah, very gore.
Mm-hmm. Which I love. I'm a big gore fan.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know, there's not enough comedy in those movies. I think gore and comedy goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of that in the Saw films. There is a bit, but not too much. Those are all the personal questions I have for you, Rebecca. So now we're going to start talking about Poltergeist, directed by Tobe Hooper. This isn't the first Tobe Hooper movie I've done on the podcast. I did The Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Martin. Mm-hmm. And I can definitely see some similarities. Not that much, because the screenplay is by Steven Spielberg. And
yeah.
He has rumored to have directed a bit of it as well.
Yeah, when I was rewatching it, I saw Steven Spielberg's like, oh wait, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I tried to see like his input on it.
Definitely. He was like producing Poltergeist around the same time he was directing E.T. And they are very similar in like the whole like based around a family and like yeah. in the suburbs, that kind of thing, and aesthetically very much the same. But then you also get like the really horror, scary yeah. horror moments from Tobe Hooper in there as well. And usually I ask people, do you have any preconceptions of the movie? But you obviously watched this as a child.
Yeah, so like as a kid, I remember loving the film and wanting to watch it with like my friends and be like, no, this is gonna scare you. That was the whole thing of it. It was the first film that I enjoyed that was like horror, and I was like, okay, this could be cool. So watching back on it, I've forgotten so much of the film. I really only remember the end bit, which was like the thing that kind of sticks out in most people's minds. But like rewatching the film, I'm there like, oh, that's actually kind of interesting, like the graphics. And for like the 80s, there was like a lot of special effects that were, some of them were bad, but like a lot of them are actually quite good for the time. And I was like, okay, this is actually kind of interesting.
Yeah,
preconceptions going in, I was like, oh okay, I remember this somewhat, I think I'm going to remember it. And then I forgot like 2 to 3 quarters of the film.
Yeah, it's always really nice to revisit a film that you've seen before but haven't watched in a long time, because your mind plays tricks on you. You might end up remembering like a completely different movie. I know for me happens quite often.
Yeah.
So do you still enjoy the film? Does it hold up for you?
I think for bits and pieces, yes. The story element I thought was a lot better in my head, because it kind of jumps from they don't know there's a ghost, and then the mom being like really into like, oh, you gotta see the chair move, and then gets the child to move, and I'm here like, that's your kid being moved by itself, and you're like having fun with it. That really questioned me. I was like, so like some of the story element, I was there like, okay, this I wouldn't think works. But like a lot of the, I guess they had a lot of fun with the special effects, so I was like, okay, this will be okay.
Like it is funny, it's so unrealistic of like, if this was actually happening in your house, what would you personally do?
Yeah, I wouldn't put my child in a circle and make the ghosts push it.
And then just stick around and wait for your child to be kidnapped by ghosts.
Oh, there's also like the, in the middle of the film, or well, more like the start, but the guys hitting on the teenage daughter and the mom being like, oh, excuse me? Like they're a good 10 to 20 years older than your 16-year-old daughter.
Yeah, that was the 80s.
Yeah.
And that's what went down. People didn't really care much about the age gaps and stuff like that.
Mom was just like, she knows what she's doing. It's like, okay.
She's mature for her age. And what was your favorite scene in the film?
It's at the end where the skeletons are rising up. It's just mm-hmm. so graphic. It clicks everything together. It's like, oh, wait. So they moved the headstones from the graveyard. They didn't move the bodies. And okay, this kind of makes sense. And then when they're all rising up, the dad is like, oh, the daughter's gone into the pool, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. At the end. And he's like, okay. So he's running, like, trying to find his daughter. And the body's rising. It's like, that's graphic.
Yeah, it's the whole scene with the pool, it just seems so gross. And I feel like the actors, fair play to them.
Yeah.
And those skeletons in the pool, Rebecca, those were real skeletons.
Remember a lot of real life stories from the Poltergeist? The cast was like haunted or something like that.
Absolutely. People talk about the Poltergeist curse, which
yeah.
I'll go into a bit later. The notion of films being cursed or haunted is very prevalent with horror films.
Yeah.
It's questionable, but I'll get into it a bit more later on at the end of the show. But it is very interesting to talk about. Did you have any favourite or least favourite characters? Did you feel that strongly towards anyone in the film?
I think least favorite was probably the mom, just because of how kind of, from my perspective, unrealistic her character felt. She was like, oh, this is my daughter, you need to save her, and the acting was not great. And then pushing her daughters, and it's like, oh yeah, no, it's grand, like, go and talk to boys and go, like, I don't know. I just don't like the mother at all. Mm. Favorite character is actually the girl. Like, the little girl was really well acted. It's like, I just want food, mom. Stop pushing me into the circle. I want to get food. I want pizza. Like, I love her.
She's great. She's really good. I'll go into a bit more about her later. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying about the mom. I did kind of like the parents. I thought they were just really chill. Like, at the start of the film, they're like smoking joints.
Oh yeah, no, I don't like the dad. I don't mind. He is protective of the children, like he's supposed to. But he also has this kind of chill vibe, which, like, it just feels more real. I hate the mother.
Yeah, the mother. I think so hard to get over the fact that she's just like, yeah, the chairs are just moving on their own. Like, Leslie, it's not mad.
Yeah, no, they're stacked up on the table, and she's like, well. Did you do that? Talking to the 5-year-old on the counter. No, that was the TV people. I was like, okay.
That scene's actually really cool with the where all the chairs go up into the table.
Yeah, no, it is really stacked really well. And it's like, something's happening. Mm-hmm. It is a quite a fun way of showing that there is a poltergeist or ghost or whatever.
Yeah. I seen that they actually did that whole thing in like one take, so it wasn't edited at all. It was,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had it like the camera just kept moving over to the mother, mm-hmm. and then when it went back, the chairs were there, and the way they did it was they had the chairs all glued together, and they just had someone just like throw it onto the table real quick.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. I remember like watching it and it felt like kind of like flowed really well. I just thought there was like some kind of cut or something, but no, okay, they did it all in one go.
Yeah, one go.
That's impressive.
The practical effects in general in the film are super, super effective and really impressive for the time. Like, even now, I know that we rely on computers so much for special effects. Poltergeist, a lot of that is just proper,
yeah, real, like physical
practical effects, makeup and props, and I just think that's so much more cooler and impressive than being on a computer.
You can see the computer aspect when all the things in the girl's room are flying around.
Yeah.
And it's like, that doesn't fit. But then you get the guy peeling off his face. Mm. That was so cool.
My favorite scene in the whole film. The most Toby Hooper scene in the whole film, if you ask me. Ripping off the skin. It was actually Steven Spielberg's hands ripping off the skin on the mannequin. Yeah. So yeah, it was just a prop head. And the more you scratched it, the more flesh came off.
Yeah, yeah.
Super gross and gory. I love it. What did you think? Like, that moment in the mirror is pretty scary, but what do you think is the actual, like, scariest, most terrifying moment in the film?
I'm unclear. Again, like, I don't get that kind of, like, jolt of, oh, what's gonna happen, you know? I like a lot of, like, gore and, like, when the kids open the space between worlds or whatever it is, there's, like, a whole moment of, is she gonna make it? Like, the mom goes in again, still don't like the mom, and I was like, oh, I you haven't done it either, and I'm like, that, yeah, but she's dealt with this a lot longer than you, but okay. I don't know, like, the most impactful, I guess, moment in the film in terms of, like, scary would still be, like, the pool at the end of the film when the skeletons rise up, because I'm there like, this is something I like.
Yeah, no, I agree. That part is absolutely terrifying. And then when the house, like, eats itself.
that is really good. It's like, oh, cool. How that works, we don't know.
I seen some information on how they did it, but I didn't, properly dig into it. Apparently, there was, like, a lot of, like, wires inside with, like, some sort of a contraption that was pulling them all together.
Oh.
And the wires kind of pulled down the house. It was very dangerous by the sounds of things. And, the way someone described it was, if anything went wrong, the whole thing would have exploded and it would have been a disaster. But it turned out really cool and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And the cinematography in general, what do you What do you think about it?
I liked it, a lot of the cinematography. There was a lot of kind of wide shots of motions of the effects and stuff, which I absolutely love. The cinematography, there was an emphasis on the graphical effects, which I'm like, yes, perfect, love it. I did really enjoy the way it was filmed and how it flowed from scene to scene. So I'm like, yeah, no, I did enjoy it. I'm trying to think of like an impactful moment in the cinematography, but they're like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the same, like the cinematography doesn't really stand out to me as something that's like, that, like when I think of really great cinematography in horror,
yeah,
it's that one that stands out. For me, it's very reminiscent of E.T., which is, of course, the Spielberg influence in the whole thing.
It's a fun watch. It went well.
Yeah, it went well. It is a very fun watch. I think when the film first came out, they were pushing for a PG rating.
Interesting.
And the censors were like, absolutely not. This is a common theme with Tobe Hooper. He likes trying to get a PG rating on things that are clearly not PG. So they said no and rated it R, which is like the highest rating, I think.
Oh,
or maybe X. This is in America, so I'm not 100% sure. Maybe X is higher than R.
I don't know, yeah.
But a few years later, they introduced PG-13. Ah. And then they gave it a PG-13 rating. So they lowered the rating once they revamped the whole rating system. Mm-hmm. So Steven Spielberg was like, I don't make R-rated movies. So he got his way in the end.
That's fair. He's like, no, we have a few graphic scenes, but you know, it's fine. Your kids can watch it.
There's no cursing. There's no nudity. So it's fine. We can rip some flesh off a face and raise the dead, but no boobs or cursing.
We're good.
We're good. We're grand. And is there any like themes in the film that you noticed that you were interested in?
Themes in the film. I mean, like the film in general goes for this kind of like happy kind of family that has like a kind of a comedic element to it, which is probably why I kind of like it a lot. Like there's a lot of kind of jokes that fit well with each other, but then they get into like the more graphic horror element, which it's a nice blend of everything. So I think in general, like the comedic theme throughout the film, specifically the end scene of the dad pushing it, the telly is like, nope, can't do it.
Not deal with this. I think one of the themes that really stands out to me is like the end of the film. It turns out this is all happening because the house was built on an ancient Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
So it's like, you gotta respect the dead. You gotta respect other people's traditions because you never know what might happen.
That is a good point. Like they do hammer home how people don't respect these religious places and how it can actually affect these real life families who are like put into just a normal house. They're like, oh yeah, no, this is gonna be nice, and then you get the background and from like the middle to the end of the film and you're like, oh,
you gotta be respectful. I think that's a running theme through a lot of ghost films. Personally, paranormal ghost films aren't really my thing, but the ones I have seen and the ones I have gone down into, it's always, oh, you disrespected the dead, you disrespect where the dead are, or you disrespected something about them, so they're gonna come back and they're gonna get you.
I can see that. Like there's a lot of like ghost films that are, because in I guess real life the paranormal element is very religious based and like demons and mm-hmm. all this kind of thing, but like ghosts in particular, like spirits from like the real world that have died, so it's a more personal effect to humanity, mm-hmm. the ghosts, instead of like, oh, demons of the hell and all this. So like, yeah. I think it's like more respect the past and all that would reflect in a lot of ghost films.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I need to
dive into
the ghost films. Like I've seen Paranormal Activity, and is Insidious ghosts or demons? I can't remember.
It's kind of slightly both. I think it's a demonic character that is attaching to the kid,
mm-hmm.
but all the ghosts are trying to get in on it as well. But I think the man, it's like the man is the woman in white, okay. So like she's a ghost instead of like a demon. But I think for the little boy, it was a very dark, I guess it could be a spirit, I don't know, but like from the way they portrayed it, it's more demon-ish.
I remember like the red guy. Spooky.
Yeah.
Definitely a demon, not a ghost.
Yeah.
So I think that's all I have for you in terms of questions, Rebecca. I am going to go into some fun and definitely some not so fun facts about this film, like the making of the film and everything.
Okay.
So the film itself, it started out, it's written by Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was writing it originally, he intended it for to be a sequel to Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind. Have you seen that movie?
No, I have not.
It's very good. Sorry. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. My bad.
No.
Fourth worries. Kind, what would that be? So it's basically an alien movie, or like a UFO movie, like spaceship movie.
I've never actually gotten into a lot of like alien films. Like, I haven't even watched Alien, like the big franchise, so I'm like,
get on that. My favorite kind of horror movie is like alien horror movies.
Interesting.
I just
think
they're so fun. I don't know what it is. They're never like, when I was a child, I was terrified of aliens because of E.T.
They're linked
to Steven Spielberg, so I think that stuck with me. And then when I was a teenager and I was getting into horror movies, I was like, okay, this is the thing that scares me. I'm gonna watch all of them.
Yes.
I'm not scared of aliens anymore. Now I'm obsessed with them.
Love it.
So another fact about the movie is Carol Ann, the little girl in the film, she originally was, or Drew Barrymore actually originally auditioned to be the little girl.
Right.
And Steven Spielberg was like, no, you're not right for this role, but I know you're really good. So he ended up casting her in E.T. instead as Gertie,
cool.
The little girl.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of fun. I love Drew Barrymore. She's great. And at the time, there's a lot of confusion about who directed the film. Now, Toby Hooper has said, no, I directed the whole film. But there's rumours that Steven Spielberg actually directed alongside him. But because he was directing E.T. at the time contractually, he wasn't able to do both.
Oh.
But he was always on the set because he was a producer.
Yeah.
But he was not ever listed as a director or anything.
Okay. Well, yeah, because he probably voiced his opinion a lot of the time. And you can kind of see it in the film how it's affected. But I guess if it's Toby Hooper's like main film, I guess he's like, nah, this is mine.
Yeah.
Which I kind of respect in a way. But yeah, I think it, even if he was listed as like, assistant director or something, like a co-director, something like that, like would have probably fit in a little bit. But I don't know.
I think he just wasn't allowed to be listed as director because of the contract with E.T. I'd say he had
I find very interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that you couldn't be on like two films at the same time.
I don't think it's like a law or anything like that. It just depends on your contract. When you sign a contract to work on a film, it could be in the clauses that you're like not allowed to work on anything else. Obviously, he was allowed to work on other things. He just wasn't be able to list it as a director. My thoughts on it would probably be because these movies originally came out a week apart from each other.
Mm.
So the production companies were probably like, we can't have two Steven Spielberg directed movies coming out
at the exact same time.
Yeah. But I see, like, Steven Spielberg was obviously a producer, so he did have a lot of say of what went on the set and everything.
Yeah.
It's his screenplay, so we are going to see a lot of his influence there. But for sure, I don't think he directed the whole thing like some people online say. Toby Hooper absolutely did most of the directing, and you can see that like if you compare it to like some Texas Chainsaw Massacre or some of other Hooper's other work. Okay, so now Rebecca, we're gonna move into the not so fun facts. We're gonna talk about the Poltergeist curse.
Yes.
Which we mentioned earlier on. So people think that the film was cursed because they used the real human skeletons in those scenes with the burial ground and the swimming pool. Now, generally, human skeletons were cheaper to use back in the day, so that's why they were used.
Fascinating.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah.
I would not... I guess 80s, man.
80s. The 80s were different. Also, you didn't have to hire someone to build one, because like if you're making a prosthetic skeleton, you're gonna have to, one, make the molds for it, you're gonna have to pour whatever material you're making the skeletons out of, and then you have to that, like, there's so many pieces in a skeleton, you have to put all that together.
Yeah.
And then you have to paint it. So it is a lot of work to make one skeleton. So when you're using that many skeletons, I don't know, you just go and buy a few for cheap somewhere.
Yeah, no, like, just go down to the local morgue. It's like, can we, like, borrow a few? Do you mind?
Yeah, just a few skeletons, please. But that's the main reason people think caused the curse. But the reason people think it was cursed was because quite a few actors involved in the Poltergeist franchise passed away around the time that they were filming. So the biggest standout is Carol Ann, the little girl. She did some of the sequels and everything, but in 1987 she actually passed away. She died because she was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, and one day she went to the hospital, she had a fever and all this, and she just died. And it was because she had bowel obstruction, and when they, like, did the autopsy and looked further, it turns out that she had, like, a congenital abnormality in her bowel.
Oh, so no.
It's so sad because it's something that could have been fixed if someone picked up on it. Yeah. She was obviously in and out of hospital. I've watched, like, documentaries with interviews with Spielberg and stuff, and they were like, she was really sick towards the end of filming. There was obviously something wrong with her. And obviously, as I said, they diagnosed her with Crohn's disease, so they just didn't give her the right diagnosis. And
oh, that is very sad.
So sad. And then, why? Also another, this is all very, very, very sad. These are the sad facts. So Dominique Dunn, she played the older sister.
Yeah.
Dana. So in November 1982, shortly after the film was re-released, because initially it came out in the summer, a week away from E.T., but E.T. completely trashed it at the box office.
Yeah.
So they ended up re-releasing it closer to Halloween. It did really well once they released it at
the right time,
exactly. But shortly after it was re-released, her ex-boyfriend came to her house and was like, oh, you've got to take me back. And she was like, no. And he strangled her to death.
Oh, and just, my God.
Yeah, he, like, left her to die on her driveway. And, yeah, she died. And he only got 3 years and 7 months in prison for that, according to the internet, which I don't understand.
What?
At all, because that's very clearly murder. So,
yeah, no, like, unless he's a minor or something, I don't know. Like,
I don't think he was a minor.
Yeah, but then he had motive and it was him. Like, I don't understand.
It's just shocking, just the fact that that happened as well.
Yeah.
And then as well, there's all these stories of, like, things going wrong on the set and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But two other actors died that were in Poltergeist 2. Now, these two actors, I'm not going to go into it too much because we haven't watched Poltergeist 2 for the podcast, but it ties into the whole curse thing. One of the actors was getting a lung transplant and he died after surgery or during surgery. And then another actor, he died of, like, a heart condition or cancer, I think it was. He was very old anyway. So those two weren't quite as tragic as the first two deaths.
Yeah, the little girl. The little girl, like,
and the teenage girl.
Is the lad still alive? Is the boy?
The boy's still alive, as far as I could tell from my research. But those deaths are the main reason why everyone's like, Poltergeist is cursed.
Yeah, no, which is very fair. Like, I mean, they did the opposite of what they say in the film and, like, disrespected the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things. I think they wanted to, like, prove the film wrong or something.
It is quite ironic, isn't it, that they were like, oh, don't disturb the dead, and then they
did disturb the dead. Disturb
the dead. Now, personally, I don't think there's a curse. I think it's just tragedy upon tragedy. It happens. Like, there's so many films, horror movies, that people are like, oh, it's cursed, this happened and that happened. But I think it's just coincidence. Like, I think horrible stuff like this happens on regular films, but when it happens on a horror film,
they zone in on it in the news. Exactly. Like, it's like, oh, it's a curse.
Yeah.
You can't talk about ghosts and not have a curse.
And I think it overshadows the tragedy a bit. Like, those deaths are horrible to think about, and everyone's like, oh yeah, it happened because you used skeletons.
Carol Ann, the girl, like, she was, what, like, 6 in the first film, and then she died how many years later?
Like, she died in 87, so this is 5 years later, so she was only, like, 10 or 11 when she died.
Mad,
And Dominique Dunn that died as well. That was because she had a psychopath for an ex. I feel like you're taking the blame off the real cause of, their deaths. You're taking the blame away from that idiot who not even 4 years in prison. And also the doctors who didn't diagnose that poor little girl properly. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all very sad. And I'm sorry to end it on that note. But those are all my facts on Poltergeist. Is there anything else you want to say, Rebecca?
No, I think the film is a very fun film to watch if you are wanting to watch it. The graphics are, yes, 80s, you can see it, but like for the time, it's a very fun film, and you get a lot out of it in terms of if you like graphic design or just the idea of ghosts in general. You want it for the story? I would not watch it.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, no, I get where you're coming from with that. Definitely one, like, if anyone is ever interested in practical effects, this would be one of the films I'd be like, gotta go check this out. But yeah, the whole Spielberg element to it doesn't appeal to you. You like all the Toby Hooper stuff, but not the Spielberg.
Yeah, no, like I like Spielberg, but I think just the story in this specific film mm-hmm. just didn't flow. And I think it's just the contrast between Spielberg and Toby Hooper. They were trying to mesh it like too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the happy family and it going into like this like ghost. I just think the script needed a little bit more work.
A little bit tightening up. Fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. Well, Rebecca, I think I'm going to end it at that. Thank you for coming in today. I've had a lovely chat. I've really enjoyed it.
Yes, no, this was very fun.
We'll have you back again next time for Paranormal Activity.
Yes.
I'll have to check out that franchise, watch the whole franchise before we talk again. But yeah, thanks everyone who's listened, and we'll talk to you next time.